Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Ash Bros podcast. Super excited to bring you guys this action-packed episode here, episode number 8 here. I'm Todd, here with Peter, of course, and yeah, we're just really excited, man. Peter, what's up, man? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm hyped. We're moving on to the NFC, and we're going to our favorite division, the NFC North. I'm super excited, man. I'm fired up. It's been a while since I've honestly, like, have butted heads with, like, kind of, I guess not butted heads. I guess the word is, like, fought myself over who I'm going to pick to win this division. I think it's the hardest. I don't know if I'm going to have any harder ones to choose from. Like, it's a very hard division. Again, I think it's the best in football. It just makes it really tough.
Yeah, you know, last year the NFC North was crazy. It was, like, I think even, like, by midseason, even all four teams were, like, over 500. It looked like they all had a chance to make the playoffs. And three of them ended up making the playoffs, which was pretty incredible to see there. So I'll start us off here, starting with fourth place here, last place team. For me, I have the Chicago Bears finishing in last place. I think they'll finish with a 7-10 record. No, don't get me wrong. I think you know, hiring Ben Johnson to be their new head coach, I think it was the right move. He was the best guy, you know, available for him to hire. One of the best offensive minds in the NFL the last few years. We saw what he's done in Detroit the last few years. Really, you know, help revitalizing Jared Goff's career there, and really just building a great offense. And, you know, he has a chance to do that down in Chicago. Obviously, Caleb Williams is a great quarterback prospect. I think he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a long time. But I just look at this Bears team. I think they're in a really, really tough division, like we kind of said. And I just feel like they, you know, especially in the first year of a new head coach and whatnot, obviously we do see sometimes, you know, teams can surprise. And I think they'll be solid. I don't think they'll be bad. I think they'll win two more games than they did last year. But I just look at the team, you know, even on defense, I don't love their pass rush too much. I like Montez Sweat. I don't really love everybody else on their pass rush there. Although I do like Dennis Allen, the new defensive coordinator there as well. A good move. But I just think for this year, kind of baby steps for the Bears. But I will say, and as a Packers fan, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of weird to say this, but look out for the Bears in 2026. I think that's when they'll take off with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams over there.
Yeah, man. That's a really good point you made on the Bears. I think I'm with you with them being last in the division. I got them with winning 8 games next year. The Ben Johnson hype, I know it's present. I get it. I understand why people are so intrigued by him and why, again, him being the most hyped coordinator in the league by far is giving a lot of people, like, again, his stuff with the Detroit Lions. It's giving people a lot of reason to support him and obviously move forward and say he's the best and he's going to be a guy who just right away becomes a great head coach. But it's not as easy as that. I think people, like, it can go both ways. I think a lot of people give Dan Campbell flack and say, well, his coordinators carried him. And then people give a lot of Ben Johnson a lot of love and say, well, he carried the head coach. And it's like, it doesn't really work like that, right? Sometimes you're just good, really good at one thing, but doing the others is a lot harder to do. And we've seen a lot of these offensive coordinators come around the league and kind of struggle, man, whether it's their team or their GMs. I can give you some short examples, but again, a guy like Shane Steichen, right? How much hype he had coming out of Philly. He was a QB whisperer. Now, all of a sudden, he's on the Colts. I know their situation is a lot more weird and different, but he's on the Colts down, and you don't know what's going to happen with him. To be honest, he's probably on the hot seat. He took a chance with Anthony Richardson. That was his kind of pick, and he's supposed to be the QB whisperer. Now, Anthony Richardson, we don't know what's going on, right? Like, it's like he's a prime example of that being kind of like one of those things where you get hyped a little bit as a coordinator. It's tough, man. Like, this league's not easy. Whether it's fair or not, you get judged based on what you do as a head coach more than you do as a coordinator. And Ben's he has a lot to prove, man. I'm not so right away thrown on this hype train like everyone else is. I still think he's going to be really good, but he has a lot to prove. It's not easy on both sides, to be honest. Todd Bowles is another example. I don't want to get off control here and off topic, but it's hard to be a coordinator and right away transition into a head coach. So, again, I see them doing well, just not too great. Of course, adding, right, Jonah Jackson, trading for Joe Tooney, that was huge. Getting Drew Dahlman was great. And that should help with Caleb Williams, who was sacked the third most ever in NFL history, 68 times. But, again, there's still obviously a few holes they have. There's still some questions at pass rush, even with Montez Sweat. And if you addition to the added there, you still got to kind of look at the secondary and say, okay, it's good, but will we still see the same things in their safeties? Right, up and down play kind of at times. There's going to be questions there with the team. I still think they're going to be good, and I do agree with you. Next year will be the year where they probably will take off a lot better once they get more in place and once they get used to everything. But people have them, like, winning the division. I don't know if I can say that fast, especially with the teams that we have here. So, yeah, I got him last right now. It's tough, but I got him last.
Yeah, you even mentioned too, Caleb Williams, how many times he was sacked last year, and of course they did a really good job of like upgrading the offensive line, like you mentioned as well. But you know, interesting, kind of related to that, I kind of have interesting stats for all these four teams here. But for the Bears, they only turned the ball over 16 times last year, which was their fewest since 1941 in a season, which is crazy. And yeah, Caleb Williams only threw five picks last year, so if they can continue to take care of the ball and, you know, be more explosive and eliminate those negative plays, then you never know. Sky's the limit. Maybe they can't win a division like some people are predicting to say, but we'll see. For me, now hang on to third place here. This is going to surprise a lot of people. I think a lot of people, this is going to be a take that's either going to age very well, or people are going to look at me and be like, they're going to make fun of me for this one. But I have the Detroit Lions finishing in third place with a 10-7 record.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, this is a really good team. You know, this is a really good Detroit Lions team. I mean, you have a lot of talent. Offense, I mean, they were the best offense in the league last year. A lot of great playmakers on that side of the ball. Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, Jared Goff's a top 10 quarterback. The offensive line is pretty good. They did lose a couple of key players though from the offensive line. The center in Frank Ragnow, he retired, I think like a few weeks ago, right before like during a mini camp or something like that. And then they also lost Kevin Zeitler, their guard in free agency. He went to the Titans. So I think those are two big losses. We'll see how they replace them there. Obviously, losing Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, that's kind of the biggest reason why I think they'll miss the playoffs, along with a really tough schedule. I know kind of you can, you know, scheduling kind of nitpick and be like, oh, well, maybe this team won't be as good as people think or whatnot. But you look at that schedule, I mean, obviously the division is tough already. Those are six tough games. I know the Lions last year, they went 6-0 against NFC North opponents. The only team in the league to sweep their division. I don't think that's going to happen this year. But you have road games against the Chiefs, the Lions, the Eagles, outside of that, the Rams. Those are a lot of tough games. So I think the Lions will be decent. They'll still win a lot of games. Defensively, I think they'll improve. I mean, it can't be much worse than last year, right? They can't have all those players being injured again. They'll be healthier on that side of the ball. But I just think losing those two coordinators, not to say that Dan Campbell's a bad coach or anything like that. I think he's a good coach, but I mean, he kind of said it best, you know, in 2023 when they lost to the 49ers and they blew that lead in the NFC Championship game. He said, guys, this might have been our best shot, you know. And I'm not saying that the Super Bowl window is closed. Maybe next year, you know, they can make another run. But I just think this year, I think there's a couple of teams in the North that are going to surpass the Lions a little bit. And I think they'll have a disappointing season in 2025.
Man, that's a take. That's a heck of a bold take. I respect it though, man. Like this is again, this is what you come for, man. Like you stand on what you know, you stand on what you think. And like 10-7 is still a good record, but it's not Detroit Lions, right? Like that's man, okay, we'll see. I like it though. I like it. That's bold. Again, like you gave good reasoning as to why. So it's not like you're just hating on them and saying, oh, it's the Lions, I'm pissed off and whatever. I respect it. For me, the team I have finishing third with also a 10-7 record. It's the Minnesota Vikings. Again, they won 14 games last year. I mean, like it's like, wow, like how much? I mean, it's like, you know, like why would you have them winning so much less? For me, I don't know. I don't know if they make the playoffs or not with this record because teams missed the playoffs last year with 10 wins, right? Like Seahawks and stuff like that. But I think they're good enough. I think they're good enough. It wouldn't surprise me if they do make it or they don't. They made major additions to their offensive line again, another position that was a weakness, just like the Bears. Really significant weakness for them, right? Adding Ryan Kelly, Will Fries, Donovan Jackson. So your interior is there, kind of set up. Donovan Jackson, depending on where they play him, I'm assuming he's probably going to be tackle. But if they don't move him to right tackle, depending on what happens, or they keep him at guard, I don't know. It'd be interesting there. Should help J.J. McCarthy. But again, that's the biggest question mark for me is J.J. McCarthy, right? As good as like I think that offense is, and as good as I think Kevin O'Connell is, will McCarthy take that step right away? Sam Darnold was also a question mark last season. He ended up being a plus. We don't know anything about McCarthy yet, right? Realistically speaking, he played at Michigan. He was asked to kind of just do what they needed him to do, and he got the job done, and they won. But he wasn't asked to really completely elevate this offense, which is what a lot of people think the Vikings are getting with McCarthy. And I think it's unfair to put that label on him right away because everyone's saying he's going to elevate them to even the levels that Darnold couldn't. Darnold won 14 games last year. Say what you want to say about the guy seeing ghosts and whatever happened. He was balling in a lot of games last year for them. Came up big a lot of times. McCarthy hasn't done that yet in the NFL at any level. really. And even at college, he hasn't really done that. He hasn't really done that, has that level or had to do that type of, I guess, uplifting since he's been in high school, where he was a blue chip caller prospect. In Michigan, he was literally asked to hand the ball off, play action, every now and then make a good throw. But he wasn't asked to completely carry the team. Again, watching a lot of college football, that was my thing. So we'll see if he can do that now in the NFL. It's a lot to ask out of a guy who, again, wasn't asked to do this. But again, the Vikings' defense is a problem. There's a lot to love about this team. I guess the only question mark other than McCarthy is literally their passing defense, right? It happens. They had the second-best rushing defense in the league last year. They had 24 interceptions. But they gave it the fourth-most passing yards. And the reason? You live by the blitz, you die by the blitz. That's what happened to them last year. Are they still comfortable playing that style of football? I think they are. But that's going to happen when you play these great teams. If people can catch up to the blitz, like the Lions are really good at that. They had a good offensive line. If they can block those blitzes, it's going to leave those corners and safeties to dry. And again, they did lose Cam Bynum. And, you know, that could be a problem. Again, they don't have the best secondary. So we'll see what they do. But I have them at a 10-7 record next season.
Yeah, no, you make a really good point, especially when it came to like McCarthy and Darnold. Because, I mean, I know Darnold, especially like, you know, what he did to us last year, to the Packers in both of those games. I mean, he sliced us up like cheese. You know, it was pretty bad. So, you know, can McCarthy go in there and do the same thing, not only against, you know, the Packers, but against the Lions, against every single team that they play? That's going to be really what determines what they can do. But I don't know. I think the Vikings will, I'll get to them in a bit, but I think they'll have a pretty solid season this year. But I guess now going to my number two team here, I got the Packers. Speaking of the Packers, I think they'll finish second in the division here. I think they'll go 11-6 for the second straight year. And I think they'll make the playoffs for the sixth time in seven seasons under Matt LaFleur. You know, I know me and you and Packers fans, we definitely have our gripes about LaFleur for different reasons. But, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, after Aaron Rodgers was traded to the Jets, you know, he's a Aaron Rodgers merchant, and, you know, and he's not a good coach and all that stuff. I mean, and all he's done 2 years is help take Jordan Love, you know, in his first 2 years to the playoffs and, you know, got a playoff win as well. In 2023. So I think LaFleur's he's a good coach. I don't think he might not be elite. He might not be a Sean McVay, Andy Reid, but I think he's definitely a top 10 coach. And I look at this Packers team. They're a really deep team. They have a lot of depth at certain positions, especially wide receiver. And we'll see if Matthew Golden can, you know, really be that number one receiver they've been missing since Davante Adams left. Josh Jacobs is awesome. Xavier McKinney's awesome on defense. But my biggest questions with this team, and the reason why I couldn't really put in the division, there's two questions I have. Actually, I would say three questions. Can they rush the passer well enough? For Sean Gary, he's a really good run defender. Last year, he showed that. But pass rush-wise, you know, he was kind of underwhelming, to be honest, especially with the contract that he's playing under right now. Not to say he's a bad player, but, you know, I feel like there's an extra step that he can definitely take with his talent and potential he has. So can that pass rush elevate themselves? You know, it looks like Brian Gutekunst, you know, the GM, was just trying to, you know, get internal improvement, you know, not making any trades for any big time edge rushers. We'll see if that comes back to bite them during the season. I think it probably will in some big games, but we'll see. Cornerback, right? Nate Hobbs is there now. He's a good player, but can he replace Jair Alexander as the number one? I'm not too sure about that, to be honest. Maybe guys like Karen and Valentine can step up, but I think the biggest one is really Jordan Love. Can he take that third year leap? Ultimately, if he can take that leap, I think the Packers can win the division and make a deep playoff run, to be honest. But if he doesn't and he kind of plateaus, I think this is just I think they're a good team, but they don't really have a lot of elite players on the roster. And I think if Love can turn into an elite player, that would help them for sure in 2025. So we'll see about that.
That's a great point about Love. Like, can he be elite? Because we don't have, again, I don't think we have the Packers. Because, you know, Todd and I are both Packers fans. So reiterate that again. The Packers don't have an elite. Yeah, they don't have a bunch of elite players. They have a couple. But if you look at this division, again, like, there are some guys who, I guess the Vikings have, if you look at the Vikings too, they only have elite players. They have a couple of elite guys, but the rest of their team are a bunch of good players. The Lions might have the most elite players in the division, right, in terms of the guys they have. Then after that, I guess even the Bears, they have maybe one, if you want to say borderline elite. I don't know. They might have the fewest in terms of elite.
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, it might be just really one guy, to be honest, who's like actually elite, in my opinion. But Yeah, it's tough. This is a division where if you look at some of these other teams, they have guys who are a bunch of stars and then okay players. This is a division full of studs kind of everywhere. So yeah, you made really good points with that love analysis. If you can jump and make that leap into an elite quarterback, it's a game changer. Because you could arguably be the only one. I don't think there's a true elite quarterback in this division. That might be my hot take as of now, right? Obviously, we can still see what happens, but that's my take as of now. I also have the Packers finishing second in the division with an 11-6 record for the second straight year. I think the thing is, biggest thing is last year they didn't look good. Like, okay, I was telling you this last time. They didn't look like everyone was going crazy. I remember I was talking to people at work and even outside and just some of my friends, and they're like, oh, they're winning games. And I'm like, they don't look good doing them, though. Like, even at the Houston game, I remember the Houston game, everyone was like, oh my gosh, like, we look like our defense looks good. I'm like, Houston might have the worst offensive line in the league. I didn't take that as like a good win to me. They were still in the game. Like, we didn't stomp on their throats like the way we should have. Yeah, it took all of that to beat a team that should had no business winning that game. CJ Stroud looked like he was seeing ghosts. He had nothing to do. Second he snapped the ball, a guy was in his face. We're talking about Rashawn Gary not getting good in the pass rush, which is true. He looked good in that game. Like, he looked great in that game. You know, like, it's like, so there's stuff that he needed to obviously improve on that they didn't really. I don't know. There's this team again. Like, I get frustrated all the time. Like you said, Gutekunst didn't really make significant moves to address positions of need. If they knew Jaire Alexander again was possibly going to be gone, I wish they invested more capital on corner. That's another story. Trey Henderson's still available, man. Go get him because you need him. I don't know. I would like to go get him, but this team, you never know. Something like that would be great. It'd be positive. You explained everything I basically was going to say about the Packers, so I'm just kind of getting into other things. Again, the defense, they finished 6th in points allowed and 5th in yards allowed last season. Last thing they did that was 2010 when they won the Super Bowl. So again, like, there's stuff to like about this defense. I think this is a big year for the Packers because this could be the year or your final year with Jeff Heifele or Heifele, right? He could be gone. Teams wanted him last year. After the end of last year, people were trying to interview him. The season that we had defensively as a whole, despite having multiple holes everywhere, especially at pass rush and at corner. If, again, we don't capitalize this year with him or even next year and he's gone, it's going to be, I don't know, man. Again, it could be a huge loss. So there's a lot to look at with this team. I don't know. I think they're going to look better doing it this year because, again, I think Jordan Love will get better. I do think I agree with you, even though I have my gripes with Matt LaFleur. I think he's a good coach. And I do think that certain young guys, I'm a big fan of Carrington Valentine. I think he's going to be good. Nate Hobbs, I think he's going to be good if he's healthy. I have my questions about the pass rush mainly. And then who's going to be the TB1? Because that's just, we're going to be in situations where, again, we were in the games with the Eagles and a bunch of other teams. You could argue we played the Eagles the best in the playoffs in terms of run defense, other than the Chiefs. But we couldn't get a stop on, when it comes to the pass, we couldn't stop them in the air, and that's all that mattered. So, yeah, I don't know. This team's, it's another one of those seasons where Green Bay, I don't want to say too much, even though I already have. It's just tough with them, man. It's always tough with me and them. So, yeah, I guess so hopefully, you know, they do something. I really want Trey Henderson, but, you know, I don't know. Gutekunst is funny, man.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with what you said. I guess I'll say one last thing. Another guy that could be an elite player this year, turn into an elite player, Edgerrin Cooper. I think last year, man, the way he played down the stretch, especially when he got more snaps, he looked like he can be an all-pro linebacker. So if he can take that next step too with Quay Walker, who I think had a actually pretty quietly like good season last year, I think that linebacker duo could be pretty special there as well. And now for my first place team, obviously. That leaves the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Vikings will win the NFC North this year with a 12-5 record. I think they'll win it for the second time under head coach Kevin O'Connell, who is, I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the league. It doesn't matter who he has a quarterback. You know, I feel like at this point, he could have me a quarterback and we could win eight or nine games. So this guy is, man, speaking of QB whisperers, man, I think he's one of them. He's a really good coach, man. You know, I just like the way Minnesota's built their team. Their GM, I don't want to mispronounce his name.
You're Ghanaian, man. Come on, bro. It's even worse. We're both Ghanaian. If you guys didn't know, we're both Ghanaian.
Quest, I know his name's Questy. I know Questy's his first name.
Just call him Questy if you want, then.
Man, I gotta get back in the lab, man. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. I'm not cutting this out either. I'm keeping this in, actually. Never mind. Gotta keep it in. But yeah, man, he's done a great job as a GM. A lot of great moves on offense and defense as well. even this offseason, right? Adding Will Fries, Ryan Kelly, a couple of, you know, offensive linemen from the Colts there. Obviously, you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison, great receiver duo. Aaron Jones, beloved Packer, former Packer there, great running back there. So, like you said, it's really about J.J. McCarthy, though, right? I mean, can he, you know, prove to be a solid quarterback? I think if he's really good, they can win 14 games again, to be honest, because I think overall they're just as good as they were last year on paper. If he's not good, obviously they'll suffer. But I think if he's even just good enough, which I think he will be, this is a 12-win team that I think will win the division. Can they make a deep playoff run? I don't really know. I mean, the Vikings, I think you look at them in terms of NFL-wise, win-loss record, the last 5 or 10 years or so, they've been up there, but they haven't been able to make a deep playoff run, win a lot of playoff games. But I do think this is a good team on paper, offensively and defensively. Brian Flores, man, that guy, he gives quarterbacks nightmares with his defensive game plans he draws up. So, but yeah, I think the Vikings will have a good year, and I think they'll win the division in 2025 by beating the Packers in week 18 in Minnesota to win the division. So, yeah.
I don't like that, man. I don't like that at all. But hey, man, you make good points about them. They are a good team. I guess my biggest thing was just, even if McCarthy's good enough, I feel like he may have a couple down games where they might lose a couple games that they won last year. But you never know, man. All it takes is for him to be good. Again, he's won a national title. Who knows? I mean, he's just a winner. It translates to the next level, and it works well. He's obviously, in terms of more talent, like skill level and what he could do, he's probably a lot more gifted than Sam Darnold is, so he could do more in that sense. It's just going to be the decision-making and key stuff, the brain stuff. That's the biggest thing. The NFL's a different beast, and he hasn't played a snap yet. So that we'll see how it goes with him there. For me, my number one team, of course, leaves me with the Detroit Lions. I had them at a 12-5 record. You lose a lot of talented coaches, but man, I don't know. Teams don't win 15 games in a season and forget how to play. That's just me, man. I don't like it. It took me a while. It's like, damn, I don't know who to pick. I don't know. Can I go with the Packers? I'm like, I can't put the Packers first. I don't know what it is. I can't do it. I don't see it happening. And listen, if we got a Henderson or something like that, I would say, yeah, I could see the Packers being. I'm not even joking. It's one move like that away where I can say, yes, this team is good enough to win the division and maybe and probably win the whole damn thing. Like, I think they're good enough to do that. But I just think we're lacking one like major piece or two like key pieces. The Lions, it's just there's too much talent, right? And now they're gonna right. You get back some guys on defense that you lost last year. Return of Aiden Hutchinson, man. The return, like losing him. When they lost him, I was like, I looked at you and we both said, I remember watching the Cowboys game. We're like, I don't think they're gonna win anything. Like, I think they're done. They lose this guy. Like, they need him to win because he's that good of a game changer. Where you have everything on offense. It's like, oh, you can do all these things. And maybe your pass defense wasn't that good last year. I think they gave up the fifth most passing yards. Again, another team likes to play man-to-man with Aaron Glenn. We'll see if that changes this year. But you got a guy like Aiden Hutchinson who can fix all of that. Now you can play a lot more man because you have a pass rusher there who might win in 2 seconds. Like, it's just, he's that good. So you add him back, right? I think Derek Barnes was injured for the most part, and he was gone. Signing DJ Reed was good. I think having him as your number, I don't know how he's going to start. He's going to be number one or number two. But I'm assuming they think Terron Arnold's going to take a big step. If he can take a major step, that could help them a lot. And then apparently the team wants to get a lot more explosive this year. Even without Ben Johnson, I think they want to get Jameson Williams involved. All I've been hearing everyone say is, Jameson looks great in training camp. Or sorry, not in training camp, but in OTAs. Jameson looks great. Every time we see him, he looks amazing. If he's locked in mentally, different story. Because he's more talented than Amon-Ra, in my opinion. That's how good Jameson is. It's just going to be about him being locked in mentally and obviously staying healthy. And then it might be a 70-30 split for Sonic and Knuckles this year. I could see Jahmyr Gibbs getting 70% of the workload instead of the 60-40 they've been running the last couple of years because we saw how good Jahmyr Gibbs looked as the main guy. The only question with him is he doesn't have the biggest frame. Can he stay healthy? So, again, the main issue obviously is the coaches they lost, right? Like brain fatigue, I don't know what you want to call it, but brain loss is real. Brain drain. I saw the NFL post that same thing. Like, all that stuff is real. All that stuff there, like, being there, it does matter. Like, it is important. Losing that many people and that much talent. Because it's not just the coordinators. You lost guys who were underneath those coordinators. Guys the coordinators liked. Those coordinators poached a lot of guys in that room. Now you got to fill them with guys who are the third and fourth in line. Or even new guys that you're bringing outside the organization. So it changes everything, right? A lot of guys you grew up and made that culture with are not there no more. So we're going to see now if they can continuously, like, do what they did. Improve and kind of just build within. That's the biggest question mark against with this team. But if they can become more explosive and kind of play their brand of football, I don't see why not, man. They're the most talented team in the division. So I don't know. I like them still winning it again for the third straight year.
Man, I mean, they definitely have a good chance to do that. I mean, even like those safeties too, Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph, that's the best safety duo in the league. And those guys are two All-Pro guys there, so that's really good. And, you know, apparently they might add Za'Darius Smith too, who was with them late last year, and he played pretty well. I know Packers and Vikings fans have their gripes with Za'Darius Smith. But he's a good player. And him, you know, if they add him with Aiden Hutchinson there, healthy, I think that'd be a pretty good duo, to be honest. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of similar for me. I mean, they didn't miss the playoffs, but the Lions this year kind of remind me of the 2023 Eagles when, you know, they made it to the Super Bowl, they barely lost to the Chiefs, and then they lose Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon as well. And then they started off really well, actually, the next year. They were 10-1, but they were winning games by, like, the skin of their teeth, and everyone was like, okay, like, what's going on here? And then they absolutely collapsed to end the season. I don't think the Lions are going to have, like, a collapse like that, but I just think they'll kind of maybe even stumble a little bit out of the gate. You know, even week one, the first game is at Lambeau against the Packers. They've beaten the Packers at Lambeau each of the last three seasons. So I think that game, along with the Vikings, who are traveling to Chicago in week one, I think both of those two games are going to kind of set the tone for the NFC North this year.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that could be a game. I think the Packers win that game, by the way. That's just me being obviously biased. But
We have to. We can't lose to them four straight years at Lambeau.
Yeah, you tough, man. Hey, man. They're good enough to get it done. And they're definitely going to know that the Packers want to get it done, too. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if out of the gate they stumble a little bit and kind of need to get the rhythm first. And stuff's not really going away. But, and obviously losing, again, you like you said, Zeitler, and losing your center, losing Reg now, like, that stings. Like, that is a major sting to them. We'll see how they adjust right away because that's losing your starting center and one of your guards. The reshuffle, but moving guys and seeing how it fits, that's definitely going to be a giant question mark, too, because they had, in my opinion, the best offensive line in the league the last couple of years, and now I think it's the best without Reg now. So, and Zeitler being gone, too, we'll see. So,
yeah, definitely two big losses there, but we'll see, man. Dan Campbell and those guys over there, they have a talented team, like we both mentioned, so we'll see what happens in the NFC North for this season. Should be a fun one, though. I think every game in that division is going to be a barn burner for sure this year. So, with that being said, guys, we appreciate you. We thank you for watching, We thank you for listening to this episode of the Ash Bros Podcast. And we'll see you guys in the next one.